In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, I'll read it from the New King James Version. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, how many of you have heard that scripture just dozens and dozens and dozens of times? Right. And so many times we just read that and we read through it and we think, you know, kind of like FIFO, you know, somewhere out there beneath the pale moonlight, you know, that he's out there somewhere. And we kind of half-heartedly don't realize the seriousness and the appropriateness of this verse. God doesn't put scriptures in for filler. If they're in there, then they're packed and they're loaded with something that will change your life. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to take a second and take a scripture we've heard many, 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 many times, and I want to just kind of slowly unpack it for you. And then I want it to open up the door for some things we need to talk about today. Amen? So it says, be sober and vigilant. So what does that mean? Well, it literally means in the translation, you've got to be clear of mind. So you have to have a clear understanding. Why? When you're talking about sober, you're clear of mind, you have clear understanding so that you can be vigilant. What does vigilant mean? It literally means the way you will act appropriately to each situation. You have to think right to act right. Why? Because there is an adversary. And he says he's your adversary. The devil, he walks around like a roaring lion. Because of your adversary, say my adversary. Okay? And he's out there to devour you. Now that word devour here, it literally means to swallow up or to drown by overwhelming you. That's literally what the whole term means when you put it together. So there's nothing more overwhelming than your thoughts. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. So the enemy, he roams around and he uses our thought processes against us. Now listen, you need to pay attention today. You need to get every bit of this, because if you'll get a hold of this, it's going to change your perception about a lot of things. Wrong thoughts produce wrong actions. So, if I were the enemy and I was roaming around and I was looking to overwhelm someone, what's the easiest way or the best way to get into somebody's head? Confusion. Yeah, so what you do is you start creating misunderstanding and you cause misinterpretations. And that's why your adversary, the one that is present, and these days some people don't even believe he's real anymore. I'm telling you, God doesn't put it in there if it's not real. And he wouldn't pay special note if you didn't need to pay attention. Not to worry about it, but to be focused on it. There's a difference. And that's why your adversary is called the author of confusion. Because that's how he gets into your head. Now pay attention, he didn't say God's adversary. He said he's your adversary. Why? Because you can't confuse God. So God's not the one that's focused on the devil, doesn't have to focus on what the devil's doing, because he's already outthought the devil and knows every move he's going to make. But he is your adversary. And we need to pay special attention to what he's doing, and we need to know when he is and when he isn't. So here's what I want to do, because this is where most people, they get, get stuck in a place in their life. Bitterness comes in, resentment comes in, hate comes in, dissatisfaction comes in, whatever it is. And then you start the downward progression into the pit. A lot of symptoms could come out of that: self-pity, suppression, oppression, depression. Change in the way that you believe, And if you change the way you believe, then you'll change the way you act. Seen it all is a result of the confusion that this adversary brings. It's a real thing. So in Romans 8:28, he makes a statement, and we know that in all things, say all things, that God works for good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So when you read that scripture, this means that everything that is realized under the proper evaluation, did you hear me? If you're looking at things, no matter how good, no matter how bad, no matter how awful, no matter how severe, how harsh, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you'll look at that and you'll be able to do a proper evaluation of that, that it should always produce or deliver an elevation in your life. Nobody caught it. See, when something bad happens, when something awful happens, when something that you don't like occurs in your life, when you do evaluation, instead you go into deflation. All deflated, there's how you balloon. You're not inflated and floating around. No, you didn't elevate, you deflated. And there you are, now the world's bad. Whatever happened, now you start saying, well, if that hadn't happened, then I wouldn't have done this. And if that hadn't happened, are you following me? And I'm not saying that it's not legitimate that you could feel that way based on the circumstances. But if you ever caught that scripture, remember I said there's always something loaded in the scripture that is powerful enough to change your life if you can get the revelation of it. If you ever got the revelation of that scripture and the one before that, you would understand then that although that thing happened, no, God didn't plan it to happen. He didn't want that to happen, necessarily need you to happen. But the fact that it happened, God will use it some way, somehow, to turn around a process in your life, and you will learn from it. And what you learn is how to be stronger, how to be better, how to overcome. And he will take whatever has happened in your life, and he will make it work for his good. That's what it says in Genesis. It'll work for his good, which is your good. And that scripture says, for good. Now, why do I say that? Because you have to do a proper evaluation. The first thing that happens when something's bad is everybody's always, well, you know, poor me, and, you know, I just wish that hadn't happened, and so-and-so, and they're mad at this one for doing that to them, or that one, and they can't forgive this one, or they can't forgive themselves. Or why'd that have to happen to me? Why'd that happen to happen to my mom, or my father, someone in my family, my child, whatever. I've had so many opportunities. Here I am serving God, doing everything, you know, because we always want to brag to God all we're doing for him, right? You know, I can't believe I've just given my whole life. I'm serving him. I'm out here on the road, you know, bags under my eyes, you know, doing everything I can 24/7. And my son gets sick, really? I'm in here praying for people to get healed from cancer, getting healed from everything, and my son gets cancer. You see where I could go? See, that's an improper evaluation that leads to deflation. Instead, I should have looked and thought, I don't know, but he's never going to have a testimony. He can't live my life, so he's going to have a life of his own. He can't live on my byproducts. He can't live off of my past, my name. God's trying to create him a name. And okay, I understand, Lord, so I don't understand why I'm going through this right now, but I know whatever that enemy, that adversary was trying to come against me, you've already got a plan in place on the other side to come out where not only is he going to come out victorious, but he's going to be able to train some folks. He's going to be able to show some folks so they don't have to fall into the same trap. So I chose instead to praise God. I'm not denying the fact that my son had cancer when he had it. Some people say, well, don't say he has cancer. No, it's in his body. I saw it. The test revealed it. I'm just saying it doesn't have a right to stay there. And so now I'm invoking my right. And so what I'm going to do is do a proper evaluation. And if I do an evaluation, then I go into elevation. And if I elevate, he comes with me. And we take him out of the situation. We don't sink into it. We don't fall in a pit. We climb the mountain. They're both work. One's going down, one's going up. If I'm on work, I'm on work on my way to the top. Is everybody tracking? Nothing happens by coincidence. Everyone included in your destiny, every person that you encounter, they're either there to watch this, because we're going to look at it from this perspective. We're not going to look based on what happened in the dramas of your life. We're going to look at what is going on. Why was that person in your life? He was there for either, he or she was there for one of three reasons: to either teach you, to heal you, or to love you. Now, I don't know that they did a good job. I'm saying that's what they were there to do. That's what they were sent to do. Has God ever sent you to do something and you failed in your assignment? Go like this. But I want you to know that when they were sent for one of those three reasons. They maybe failed in their assignment like so many of us have done before. So sometimes if you're just looking at the results, then you're going to sink and you're going to deflate again, right? We're going down to that downward progression again. Is everybody following me? But if I do a proper evaluation and realize the whole reason they were sent to my life, they were supposed to improve my life, but because they didn't, for it doesn't matter, God will still use, even if they had malicious intent. God still will teach me. He'll still heal me, and he'll still love me through it. Every person, they served a role. No matter how bad things turned out, what that enemy meant for evil, God continued to turn it to good. So in every circumstance, every relationship in your life, doesn't matter what the experience was, doesn't matter. You evaluate and you elevate. Now listen, this is life changing if you'll get this understanding here today. Some came and they loved you the right way. And because they did it right, they provided you structure, security. Some came, they didn't love you the right way. But they forced you to learn who you can trust and who you can't. Listen, they taught you, listen to me, they taught you what you will never tolerate again. Remember, you deserve what you tolerate. These were some of your greatest teachers. Some, they didn't stay, but they changed you. You know why? Because they forced you to grow, to be able to see clearer, and because of that, they made you stronger. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I hope somebody's listening today. This is going to set somebody free today. Not every connection is meant to last. And every connection does not have to have a happy ending. Why? They may not be designed to last, but each one's designed in some way to shift us. Now, our emotions, they cause us to make judgments and make assessments, and then that begins to cloud our thinking. So, how can I say this? If we continue to allow our emotions to guide our thoughts, then we're going to continue contaminating our futures. The only way to have clarity is you have to separate yourself. We have to separate ourselves from those emotions and break those old emotional patterns. See, when you get into an emotional pattern, it becomes habitual. And the problem is, if John Doe does me wrong, then the next John that comes along, he's automatically going to do me wrong. So I've already put my guard up. I can't receive anything from John because I've already put a barrier up. I have no idea what John was going to bring into my life. You know, I know he was supposed to love me or to heal me or to bring, you know, to teach me, but I can't even receive. It's not that he's failing his assignment. I won't let him do it. Because I didn't properly evaluate the last situation. And I sunk, I deflated instead of elevated. If I would have elevated, I would have came above the situation and I would have viewed it from a different standpoint. And I would have seen that even though I didn't like what happened, I liked the results that it brought to my life later on. And because I see those results, now when John Doe comes to me, now I'm going to receive what he's brought in the package. And now my life can continue to grow. How many people have we cut off that God sent to be our Savior? When I say saviors in that area, it was our help in time of need. God, why won't you help me? Doing everything I can here. Now listen, I'm going to delve off into something here, and I just feel I need to kind of zero in on this, because often the connections we have, they're misunderstood. Okay? Now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an example of men versus women. Why do men try to fix women instead of listening to them? All right, pull up a chair. Let's go ahead and let's heal some relationships while we're here. Let's go ahead. Let's get some stuff fixed. When I say relationships, I'm not talking about necessarily the one you're with. I'm talking about the relationships you've had in the past that you're still broken by. Are still anchoring you into the past so you can't even move into your future properly. You're dragging that thing around like a carcass, man. That thing starting to stink behind you and everybody else smells it too. Come on, somebody. So you have to have understanding. So what we're going to do is help try to create a little bit of understanding for it. So we're going to dig in here. I hope y'all are ready. So here's what you need to understand. Ladies, he's not trying to silence you. He's loving you with the only language he knows how to speak. Did you hear me? Men try to fix their mates because they love them. Boy, you know how quiet it got in there? See, it's like a weird thing happened right there. Did you sense it in the environment? Even the Holy Ghost was going, whoa. Because all the men went, say what? And all the men were too scared to say anything. And you don't know if you can say amen or oh me. You mind if I keep digging a little bit? Men try to fix their mates for one reason. It's because they love them. See, you don't understand in a man's world. A man's world is different. A man is not trying to push you down. He's trying to pull you up. So if you can understand that a man's motive to begin with is never to push you down, he's always trying to pull you up, you'll evaluate the situation differently. You won't see it the wrong way. See, somebody's trying to push you down. What are you going to do? You're going to push back. Somebody's trying to pick you up. What are you going to do? You're going to receive the help that's coming, that the Lord has sent to you. Evaluate and elevate. And that's how you turn something around. So I think a lot of times, even in your homes today, right now, we're still looking at things the wrong way. And we keep going through the same fights, having the same old emotional habits, getting into the same emotional entanglements, the same brawls, the same feelings, creating bitterness in relationships of all kinds, not just man and wife. Because we're not evaluating the situation properly. And so, ladies, when you're hurting, just understand that the man feels it in his body. And your pain, it makes him tense. And your sadness, it makes a man restless. And you being overwhelmed makes him uncomfortable in his own skin. It's not that he doesn't care. As a matter of fact, he cares so much he can't sit still while you're in pain. So he wants to take it from you. He wants to reach into your chest. He wants to pull it out, and he wants to carry it for himself. Now, that's what love looks like to him. And you think he's prying. You think he's just trying to agitate you, irritate you. No, he's trying to fix it. Go ahead and break three, brother. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. You just did what every man in this house doesn't have the guts to do. They want to do it so bad. They're like, yeah, what he said. Yeah. Truth's going to come out somewhere. If you didn't do it, a rock was fixing to scream it. So, that's funny. Men and women, they speak two different languages. Ladies, yours is connection, but you have to understand that his is action. See, women, they regulate their stress differently. They want to express their emotions. They want to express them out loud. Men, they regulate by solving the threat that's in front of them. Girls want to talk about it. Men want to go after it. See what I'm talking about? Ladies, when you start talking about something hard, your instinct is, I don't feel understood. You know, and to us, what is it? What are you not understanding? Because in his, he's here to protect you. Come on, men. Some of y'all going, say that. Y'all won't raise your hand, but you're cutting your eyes at me going. Ladies, you want empathy, but a man wants effectiveness. You want presence, but he wants solution. See, you want to feel your way through it. Talk about everything you're feeling along the way. That's who you are. It's how you're wired. But a man, he wants to separate himself from that emotional chaos so he can see things more clearly. It's not that he doesn't care about your feelings. Told you it's going to be a day of healing. Starts from the top down, brother. It's not that he doesn't care about your feelings. It's that you understand that his caring triggers his protective instinct. He can't control it. And his protector instinct doesn't know just how to sit down and feel. Do you understand? You understand you want to feel it. And it's okay if you want to feel it. But we just can't sit there. We can't just sit there and feel. Because we got to protect something. We got to do something. Somebody's going down. I don't even know who it is. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but something's going to happen. Now I'm going to make sure it does. Because I'm a man. And that's what men do. He only knows how to act. And you have to understand, this language is older because it's an instinct. And that language in him is older than the logic he has in his mind. So, ladies, listen to me. This is what it sounds like. Okay, you ready? The woman I love is hurting, so I have to fix whatever's hurting her. Now, the next time you're doing your evaluation, you make sure that you understand that's the program that's running underneath every time he does it. Men protect. They take action. They provide structure. They provide solutions. This is our love language. Whether you like it or not, it's who we are. So can I say it this way? The fix is not trying to change who he is. The fix is teaching him that sometimes the solution is just being there. And go ahead, listen. You know, as much as I wish I had it, I don't have ESP. I love it when I flow in a prophetic vein, but I don't have ESP. Most men, is any man in here? Have you got it yet? If you do, just give me the channel. I'll buy the app, whatever. But can I say this? Women, tell him at the start of the conversation, I don't need you to fix this. I just need you to listen. Okay. We can take instructions. Okay. Now, you just enabled me, and what you told me in your own language is that not trying to fix it is fixing it. I'm good with that. We both got what we needed. But ladies, can you just hear me one time? And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you the differences so you understand, so we can get some healing done here today. But ladies, sometimes you just need to let him fix it. Oh, it got too quiet when I said that. Y'all, ladies, y'all was all on board until I said that. If you'll do what I'm saying and you'll follow these words, when it comes to your evaluation, they'll always lead to elevation. Now, do you mind if I just deviate a little bit here? I want to evaluate some other influences in our life. Most people are trapped between two inconsistent voices. One is telling them who they are. So watch this. If you ask somebody, who are you? Two voices, and you're trapped between these two voices. One, what others think about you. And then the other voice, what you think about yourself. See, people's opinions about you, they can create distortions. And these distortions affect your thinking. So watch it. Remember the adversary? He's roaming around looking. The moment he even sniffs a distortion, he uses it as an entry point to be able to come into your mind and start to take control over you. If he even senses a little disruption, he senses a little unsettledness, man, he's right there to feed it. He's going to throw gasoline on it. He's going to blow it up. Going to make it worse than it is. Why? Because he's going to provide you with all the negative affirmations you need about yourself. And if he can't get you to think it, he'll send somebody else that'll be glad to tell you. And then he begins to erode away at your true value. And then what happens? He disqualifies you from your purpose. Do you see that? Because now you no longer feel you're qualified to do the thing that God obviously has called you to do. Because someone has talked you out of who you are. Your own thoughts can do the same thing. Same thing. Why? Because they all exaggerate. They minimize your qualities. And then they steal away from your true value. Listen, they even distort the truth about who you really are. You ever had your mind get involved in something? How many times has your mind ever said, you'll never do that? Tell the truth. Oh, don't even try that. I won't even bother going there. Why? Who said? You did. I know one thing, you'll never succeed anything you never try. Why? Because, see, none of these voices, none of them, they don't tell you who you truly are. If you want to see what you look like, if you want to see who you truly are, then don't stand in the reflection of false realities. You want to see what you look like? Right here, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, I care very little, however, I am charged. I care very little, however, if I am judged by you or by any human court. Paul doesn't care. He doesn't care if you judge him. He doesn't care if other people judge him. He said, in fact, I don't even judge myself. Why? Because those two voices are both inconsistent. He said, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't vindicate me. It's the Lord who judges me. Now, when you look here, that word, literally, when it says judge, I don't even judge myself, it means, ready, to examine. Now, you have to understand, I'm a doctor, and my job is to find out what's wrong. So when I find out what's wrong, I don't find out so I can condemn my patient. Ha ha! Look what I found. Ha ha ha. Gotcha. No. The great physician wants to find out what's wrong so he can provide a cure. He wants to fix it. So what Paul's saying is, I don't care if you examine me. I don't care what your judgments are. I don't care what your prognosis is. I only want the Lord to examine me. Because he will find out what is truly wrong, and he will provide the correct cure. And he's definitely not saying he's above examination. Because he tells the same church, he says, examine yourselves to see if Christ is in you. So what he was saying is his judgment could be biased just because of his own way of thinking. Can I say it this way? Sometimes we can be our worst adversary. But he also was saying that evaluation coming from others can also be biased. So you don't need other people's opinions. Therefore, you never get true evaluation until you look into the Word. That's the answer. Now, that could be from your own study. That might be from a preacher like me. It might be the Holy Spirit, maybe in your prayer life or sitting there on the pew, and he reveals something to you. However, it will all come from the same source of truth. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to listen to me. True maturity wants to know the correct evaluation from Christ. The clear-minded thinker wants the truth of the Word to define who they are and who they're not. If you look into the Bible, there is no book of first and second opinions. It ain't in there. I've looked, trust me. People's opinions, here's why I look at it. People's opinions are like dark clouds on the horizon because they always seem to bring storms into your life. Now, I talked about the mature. Why did I make that statement? The mature Christian wants the affirmations of Christ. They want the evaluation because immaturity craves affirmation. So you didn't even know what that meant. So I'm going to step out here and tell you what that means. When you're immature, you need the approval of others. You have to have it. And if you don't have it, sometimes you'll even end up acting inappropriate to get it. And sometimes you may act a certain way that is not consistent with the walk God had planned for you. And because you get caught in that, now you're in performance and you can be living a life so far out of the will of God that you don't even know who you are. And you can feel so hollow, you can feel so empty because you've been pulled back. Well, if I don't please this one and I don't please that one, I don't make this one happy. Well, what if you don't? Because you've been trying to make everybody happy and you're the one that's miserable. Why are you miserable? Because you're not in your calling. You're not in your purpose. You've allowed these voices to come in your head and form who you are and tell you what you should be. And if you're not that, then if you don't do this, then you can't be that. And if you're not that, you're not a good mother. If you're not that, you're not a good wife. If you're not that, you're not a good husband. If you're not that, you're not a good provider. Whatever it is, whatever you've been lied to and told, has nothing to do with your calling. I can be digging a ditch or I can be a doctor. It doesn't matter. If I'm called to do something, my Bible said God's going to provide for me in the thing I'm doing. So sometimes we have to do thorough examination with the Word, sermons like these. And we have to see when we do our evaluations on situations, things that have pulled us down, things that have caused us hardship, things that we're still suffering from. When we evaluate them, are we being elevated? Are they still deflating us? Are they still pulling us down? Because if they're pulling us down, somewhere the adversary got into your head and he changed what God's directive was for your life. That situation, he turned to be able to teach you, to be able to love you. I don't know about you, but those two things bring the third one, healing. That's what God wanted for you. So if the person failed in their assignment, don't worry. God's got that teaching, that plan, that to be able down the road to be able to heal you. Some of y'all might be being healed right now listening to this. I pray to God, you're looking at me right now going, man, I never thought of it that way. Wow, if I'm not elevating in the situations in my life and I'm thinking, I've already let the adversary win. He's already in your head. Because if you truly believe this scripture, if you truly believe what I've been breaking down for you this morning in scripture, then there's no way that you can sink to the occasion when God's trying to raise you up above it. I know this is deep and it makes you get deep. And I told you we was going to get into the mailbox today. Sometimes we have to go deep. Sometimes we can't just stay superficial. We got to go ahead and go down deep. Forget about what you've learned, what people have taught you, what you've heard 55, 57 sermons. If you've been to 4,500, you know, marriage conferences, whatever. Let's just put all that away right now and let's just get real. This is where you're living. Can you look at the one that you say you want to love, and can you say that you've made good evaluation? Have you made proper evaluation? Do you think it's the intent of a person's heart to rip your heart out? Do you really believe that? I think you might need to do a reevaluation. And if that person is wanting to rip your heart out, then they probably need to do a reevaluation because they're still hurt from something in their past and they're lashing out, and you happen to be the target. It's almost like counseling 101. But if we don't stop, oh, I love to preach a happy. Oh, I love to talk about God's prosperity. Oh, I love to talk about the wonderful things God can do. I love to talk about the power of God, the move of God. But God can't move if you aren't accessible. And I've seen some stony hearts that you can't break with a sledgehammer. You've got that thing so walled off, so hard, so tough. It's just, man, you can't even let the words bouncing off, man. If you ever let situations get you so mad that you're mad at God, then you better get a hold of what I'm saying, brother or sister. Because it'll change your life. Somewhere in there, you got a bad evaluation. You're walling off the only one that can help you. The only one. If anybody's going to get in your head, you need to let Jesus in your head. Mm. You need to go back. You need to reassess your entire past. If you're still stuck somewhere, you're stuck. You got to go back to that place. You're still feeling hurt, still feeling pain, still feeling shame, still feeling remorse. Still feeling whatever. If you're feeling, the only thing you should feel is joy. When the Lord gives it a happy ending, it's joy. If you have anything but that, you need to go back and evaluate, and you need to elevate today, right now. Then you'll begin to heal, and God will take that problem and he'll turn it into power. So I'm going to leave you with this final thought, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not until your own understanding, your own thought patterns, the way you view it, the way you examine it. No, you can't lean on your understanding. You have to evaluate and elevate. All your ways, acknowledge him. That means you have to do it even when you don't want to. You have to do it even if you don't feel like it. You need to do it because you need to do it. Say evaluate and elevate. And then he shall direct your paths. Can you please stand to your feet across? Say it with me. Say, I need to evaluate and elevate. I don't care what problem you have, this strategy is the solution. If there's a relationship you can't solve, this is the strategy that provides that solution. Today, I had to teach it about that deep. Because it just rakes so many people. I need to go way down there. But you have to start somewhere. You don't start chopping a tree in the center of the tree. You got to chop it from the outside in. So as I'm chopping on the outside, I have to know the Holy Spirit's chopping on the inside. And he's ultimately the one that's going to cut away those bad roots. It's going to break those emotional cycles that continue to spin off into places, being something you don't want to be, doing something you don't want to do. Be sober. Be vigilant. I circled right back around to the beginning. Because now that you've heard this word, now you got to be clear-minded. And you have to look at things as they really are. And what's vigilant? Acting appropriate to every situation. Once you see it with God, you have to fix it. And oh, you're not really fixing anything. You're just turning it over to him and watching him fix it. And really all you're doing is you're just doing a different evaluation of the same situation. You thought it was a bad thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure it might have been horrific at the time, at the moment. It might have been a horrible situation. But that was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't know how long it's been. That was back then. What is it to you now? See, you can't go back and change what happened, but you can change what you learned from it. You can change what you take away from that experience. You can take away pain or you can take away power. Which one's it going to be? When you walk away, you're going to walk away bloodied up and beat at something, or are you going to walk away healed? That's why Jesus taught so much on forgiveness. Once you forgive, you leave it at the foot of the cross. And you lay your burdens down. You thought we'd just singing all them songs because they rhymed. But the only one that can allow you to be fixed is you. God's ready whenever you are. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. You can con me. You can put your smiles and your giggles on. You can fool everyone around you, but you'll never con God. Can't do it. And I don't know why I said half the things I said up here today, but I know I said them because God needed me to say them so you could hear them. And there was something for everybody here today. And now here's the thing. Once you receive the word, you have to decide what you're going to do with it. Doesn't matter what I do with it. Doesn't matter what the front row does. What are you going to do with it? Because it's all about changing you. It's all about God making you better. It's all about God loving and healing, trying to bring you to the place in life where he sees you at your best. How many people would just love to be where God wants us to be at our best? We have the biggest part in that. Do you understand? You don't judge someone's success by their failures. You judge by their accomplished, what they have accomplished. That's success. So I don't know how many failures you've had or you think you've had or how bad you think your life's been or how hard things have been. All I can tell you is I wish you didn't have to go through that, but you did. And you're still here. And you're still strong. And you're still believing. And you still have the ability to help the people around you. You still are alive and breathing and can still make a difference. And he's just waiting on you to step into your calling so you can finish what he started a long time ago. And today he just wants to take some weight off your wagon. Because you've been dragging it around long enough. Do you know I was late to church this morning? You know why I was late for church? I was up at 4:30. It wasn't because I slept in. Because I get up very early every Sunday morning. And I go through everything that I've put together through the week. And Saturday I put it together in a full sermon. It's ready to go. But I don't even send it over here until Sunday morning. Because I sit down with the Holy Spirit and I go through the sermon again. And I've been through it 50 times, but I go through it again. And this morning, he just started adding. That means that he had you in mind. For some reason, some of y'all didn't want to come to church today. Now, I'm going to tell you by the Spirit, the Lord showed me. But some of y'all changed your mind. So if you changed your mind, he had to change the sermon. I was almost an hour late today. No, I was an hour. I was an hour and 7 minutes late today. Barely had time to get my robe on and stuff to get down here. Because he was downloading what you needed to hear. I just think sometimes you need to know what goes on behind the scenes so you can appreciate what God's trying to do for you right now. I don't know how anybody else prepare. I'm not here to judge anyone else, but I don't put 3 points on a napkin and come in here and preach off my head. I've been in the presence of God, and I've heard from God, and I'm asking God all the time what you're doing, what we're doing, what do I need, what do we need? I said, and I always ask him, please put me in there too, man, because I need it as much as everybody else. And he's always faithful to do it. But I want you to know this isn't just some generic thing that's just popping up. The vision, the fact that he wouldn't even get me on this subject. You know, I wanted to preach to the graduates today. I wanted to preach about breaking out and breaking through. Man, I love that kind of preaching. Woo, everybody's so happy. Everybody jumping around, throwing stuff. You know, woo, oh, Bishop, yeah. Woo, woo, right? And he said, but I want you to preach this. And when he started with that first verse, I kind of got, so where are we going here, Lord? You know, we'll start talking about an adversary, you know, and I don't ever give the adversary any glory at all. But you can't ignore him either. Chihuahua's not dangerous. Anybody afraid of a chihuahua? Yeah, just leave your fingers hanging over a chair sometime. It'll wear you out. I didn't tell you all my chihuahua story. You remember? When I was a kid, you'd leave your hand laying over. This neighbor had his little chihuahua. It was demonic. He was like Yokiro Taco Hell. He was straight from the pits of hell, this dog was. And he would act like he was your friend. You'd pet him. Then, as soon as he got off the chair, if you leave your hand, I don't know what it was. Maybe he didn't like your fingers. He would just nail you. That's how the devil is. When you think you're hanging out, you're comfortable, you think everybody likes you, bam, that's when he hits you. You think everything's good, bam, that's when he hits you. So the easiest thing for me is just close this service out and go home. Man, we've had a good day today. Wow, everything's been great. Gretchen's happy. We had such a great service. But he's not through yet. And I can't let you leave those doors until I know you've at least been given the chance to heal from your past. I didn't come to beg. I came to plea. And I'm going to make a plea over this congregation. Today it stops. Today you make a decision to walk away from the emotions of your past and walk into the blessings of your future. You know my saying? You never allow your past to steal away from your future. Well, here's your chance to seal the past. Oh, you may have went there and said, oh, I forgive him, Lord, you've done all that, and that's great, but you're still feeling it. You say, well, God, I forgave, but I just can't forget. You need to forget. Because if you hadn't forgot, then you need to go back and reevaluate. Because if you do remember, you have to have something good on it. You don't know how awful that was and what happened to me. It was so traumatic. Yes, it was. But that was then. And you chose to make a decision about that, that you were going to walk away stronger. You're going to walk away better. And you were not going to let that defeat you. Because you made that decision, you ought to take away great pride and joy that you were big enough to walk away from that thing. So now when I think about it, I look at that as a victory in my life, not a tragedy. And see, when God fixes that, and he fixes that, oh, I'm more than an overcomer. We read all these scriptures, but do you know what they mean? Every scripture is a key. It unlocks something to your life. Power packed, every one of them. The Bible's full of them. Are you going to take a few of these keys today? Just unlock your heart. Open it up. Be clear-minded. Just be sober about it. Just be real. Don't hide. Look in there and say, yeah, I got to fix that. And then be vigilant. You have to react appropriately to the situation. Fix it. Let God fix it today. So that's my plea, my one and only. Now the rest is up to you. But if that's you today, and you said, I've taken a look, and I'm not ever going to allow that thing, I don't care if it happened last week, if it happened yesterday, if it happened on the way to church, or if it happened 50 years ago, I don't care. Whenever it did, if you're done with it, I want you to walk down here right now. Whoever it is, just come on down. Well, I want you to stand across this. See, what started happening in the church world is we've gotten so used to coming in and getting comfortable and hearing, you know, pep talks to go out there and continue to living in our misery. And we do good for about a week. And then after about a week, we're probably more miserable than we were the week before because now we even know the truth and we still can't confront it. Y'all come on down here. We got plenty. Everybody come on up. We got plenty of room here, man. Plenty of room at this altar. That's why we left this altar. I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of the churches, they come right up to the stage now. I'm not picking on any church, but I guarantee as long as I'm alive, this thing will always have room. And if we need to, we'll take out a few more pews. We'll let everybody else worry about where they're going to sit. I'm worried about where the people are coming forth are going to stand because they need help. They need healing. And just to let you know, I'm standing right out there with y'all. I'm just directing this service right now. So Holy Ghost does the work. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm just a voice who's carrying his word so it can get into you what he wants to get through you. Now, in an altar call like this, let me go ahead and give you instruction. The Lord's had me do hundreds of them, maybe perhaps thousands. He knows each and every individual's issues. He knows each and every one of your struggles. I don't have to know. You don't have to be touched by me. Now, in a minute, I'm going to bring some elders up here, and we're going to make available. We're going to lay some hands on for anybody that needs that and all that kind of stuff. But what you need is to do exactly what I said. And in a minute, I'm going to start praying over you. And when I do, there's an anointing that's going to be present that's going to come in to help you see things in a clearer way. And when you see that clarity coming, then you have to be vigilant. And you have to evaluate it and say, I'm going to elevate. And when you walk away from this place, you're not going away defeated. You're going away built up and strong in the Lord. You're elevating to a new place in your life. You're going to have a higher way of thinking. And if your mind ever tries to circle back, all it's going to circle back to is a place where you left a mark and said, I'm never going below this again. And it'll never, ever, ever go back to that place. That's what we're doing today. We're going to elevate past your problems. We're going to evaluate to elevate. Say evaluate to elevate. Say evaluate. To elevate. Say evaluate. To elevate. That's what we're doing here today. That's what we're doing here today. And we're going up. Say, I'm going up. Then I'm not going back. So now here's what we're going to do. I want you to take your focus off of everything else around you. And I just want you to I don't care if you're standing there with your mate. Don't focus on your mate. Don't focus on your friend. You focus on you. This is all about you now. Don't worry about anybody else and what their issues are. No. This is you today. And when I start to pray, I want you to pray. And as we are praying, I want you to pray that God will come in. And not just, you already know what the thing is, but it's amazing when he starts letting you see it in a full dimension. So you bring it to him and let him tell you how to pray about it. And whatever you need to do to fix it. Say, God, I'll do whatever I need to do to fix it right now, but I'm not. And you show him how determined, how vigilant you are. And that door will be locked so tight, the devil will never get back into your life using that access point again. So right now, I'm going to start to pray, and I want you to pray too, and I want you to begin to evaluate, and then I want you to elevate. I want you to see yourself walking away from it strong. I want you to see you going away from it better. And I forget the emotional part of that. Just cut that part loose. Say, I won't even allow myself to feel those emotions another day of my life. Say, from this point forward, this is a place of strength and not weakness. Come on, right now, let's pray. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. As you're searching the hearts, you're searching the minds, God. You're bringing revelation. They're looking at situations from their past, and they're starting to see them with clear vision. They're starting to see things from a perspective they never saw before. Lord, they're looking in, and they're seeing where all that hardship and that pain, that frustration, that irritation, that aggravation, that misery, all of those problems, those issues, those bad times, as we like to call it. Lord, that those were just times. And now those times are no longer a part of us. We separate our emotions from it, Lord. We ask Holy Spirit, come in and cut away those emotional strings that have held us and anchored us there for so long. Lord, Holy Spirit, come in and do what only you can do, that you can purify the heart, you can purify the soul. Your love conquers all. Lord, you said it's deeper, that separates bone from marrow. It goes so deep, Lord. Your word will get down there like a two-edged sword. Cut away those dead places from our life, those places that have held us back, angered us, hindered us, kept us from moving forward into your plan and into your purpose, God. We want to fulfill our destiny. So, Lord, I ask that you now remove those things from our lives, from our hearts, from our minds. We don't feel it anymore. We don't have sensation there anymore. We don't even have mental assent to those affairs any longer. We don't try to give it happy endings. It's already finished. It's done. We're walking away stronger. We're walking away better. We're walking away a different person than we were in that situation. Because of that, we learn some things. Because of that, we realize we will never tolerate that again in our life. We realize now that that was a spirit that was assigned against us to keep us from our true calling. And now, Lord, we go back and we see that. So now we want to remediate that. We call it back to our life now, Lord. Whatever we missed out on, for whatever reason now, we call it into being now that we want to fulfill it. We might not have could have done it then, but we can fulfill it now. So, Lord, roll it forth, everything you've had laid up for us, every assignment, every detail, roll it forth. We're ready to take the mantle right now. We'll fulfill it in this life right now just because we can. We no longer have to look in our back to see who we are. We don't have to look in our past to realize who we are. We now walk away knowing that we are strong in the Lord. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We are so strong. We can do everything. All things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Lord, we ask you to strengthen us today, God. Strengthen us. Let us feel the power and the might coming in the situation. Even in the healing process, Lord, the wounds try to rake. The thoughts try to flare. Lord, we ask you to take those thought captives to the obedience of Christ. They can no longer affect our way of thinking. They can only point to our future, and our latter is way better than our greater. Greater than our former. Much greater. Much greater than our past. Bring the healing, Lord. Bring the love, the power of the love. Lord, you're our Holy Spirit teacher. You teach us everything. Teach us what we need to know from those experiences right now. Just download it into us. Say, this is why this happened. This is what you learned from this. This is what you did. This is why it happened. And this is how you're to walk away from it. Teach us right now, Lord, how to walk away from it. Teach us, Lord. Lord, help us to feel your love like we've never felt, Lord. If it was rejection that was coming out of this, Lord, love us through that rejection. Love us out of that rejection. Lord, if it was abandonment, love us out of that abandonment. Lord, you fill every hole that's in there. If it's hate, remorse, anger, whatever it is, you fill that hole right now, Jesus. Your love conquers all, conquers everything. And finally, Lord, heal us. You're like a balm of Gilead. Your spirit goes into those places. And those places where we've been injured, those places we've been wounded, those places we've been harmed, those places when we were fragile. And we even buckled under the pressure because it was so overwhelming. But the enemy did not devour us. He overwhelmed us, but he couldn't take us out. Because of that, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. And if he couldn't do it then, he can't do it now. And so we walk away from this right now, knowing we're healed. We are every whit whole in Jesus' name. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are brand new right now. I don't know what happened yesterday, but I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I may have had failure in the past, but I'll tell you, nothing but success coming my way tomorrow. Repeat after me. Say, I am a child of God. I am healed. I am whole. I am powerful. I am successful. I will fulfill my call and do everything that God has called me to do. Why? Because I am strong in the Lord. And God used my weakness to make me strong. Now, if you believe that, you give God a praise like you've never given before. Come on, no, I want to hear you this time. I want to know that he did something. I want to know that something changed. He wants to know that something in you has a victory shout right behind what he just did. Now, in the natural, we have a term for this. It's called closure. You have closure now. In the famous words of Jesus, it is finished. Say it. Say, when it's finished with me, it's finished. And say, so it's finished with me. So it's finished. It's finished. That's it. If a thought even hints like it's trying to come, that devil even tries to throw a thought in your head, it's finished. No, it's finished. Nothing there. Just strength, power, wholeness, wellness, healing. I can see God's faithfulness. See, I look through past everything I've ever been through, and I always see God's faithfulness. I don't see my weakness. I don't see my issues, my problems. I see God's faithfulness. Do you understand? Say it with me. Evaluate. And elevate. Say it again. Evaluate. And elevate. So when something comes your way or the enemy tries to throw a problem at you or you're going through a bad time, what are you going to do? Evaluate and elevate. Because see, you have the perfect excuse for God to do something extraordinary. The next time you're going through a challenge, oh, this is a perfect opportunity for God to do something in my life he's never done before. I can't wait to see how this is going to come out. I can't wait to see how much better I'm going to be on the other side. I can't wait to see how much stronger, how much more productive, how much better my life is going to be when God does this miraculous thing. I just feel like we need to do this. Will you put your, just on the shoulders, don't get weird, but just kind of, just put your hand on the shoulders of the people beside you and just, I want you to pray for the person on either side of you, because I just think this is the part we miss so much in church because we're always seem to be, we don't do it intentionally, but sometimes we're in such a hurry where we forget this. We need each other's prayers. We need each other's belief, faith. We are stronger together. We are better together than we are separate. So what I want you to do, through the Holy Spirit, just let him guide you, whatever he, you know. And I just want you to begin to pray for the person on either side of you, because we've made some pretty good progress here today. And this is a pretty big day, and I want you to make sure that all the success is on their life. I want you to pray every good thing you can possibly think for that person on either side of you. Every good thought that comes to your mind, every good and perfect gift, let me just see you just release it right now. Start releasing it. Go ahead right now. I mean, just pray the best things, the best thoughts, success, out in the, I'm talking about congregation, everybody. Find somebody, get a hand on each other, and let's just pray for the continuation of what God's doing here today. God's best is yet ahead. His faithfulness is going to rule out over every problem, every circumstance, over every situation. Though 1,000 fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, Lord, none will come nigh my dwelling. It's not coming to me. No, where two agree is touching anything, my Father in heaven will bring it to pass. So what I'm praying for either one on either side of me right now, as I'm praying, just says, as I'm praying, it's coming to pass. All these good things I'm speaking over my brothers and my sisters, they're going to come true. They're going to come to pass. I'm going to see blessing in their life. I'm going to see fulfillment in their life. I'm going to see success in their life. I'm going to see healing in their life. I'm going to see reprovement in their life. Everything in their life gets better, if for no other reason, just because I'm praying right now, it's going to get better. It's going to continue to improve. Matter of fact, tomorrow's going to be so much better than today. They're going to be overwhelmed by goodness. Let's hear you pray. Come on, let's pray something good. Come on, the best thoughts you can have. The best thoughts. Because as you sow, you also reap. So as you're sowing good prayers, you're getting good prayers. As good things are happening to your neighbor, they're happening to you. We're going to be strong. We're going to be uplifted. We walk out of here, we're going to know we've been in the presence of God. We're going to know God has made a change. This is the power of God that so many churches are missing, but we're not going to miss it. A glory to him. Praying for all the saints. Paul said it's like refreshing to the bowels of the saints, just a refreshing. Times of refreshing are coming. I pray refreshing coming to each and every person. A wellspring coming up on the inside, flooding the gates of your spirit, washing away, cleansing, nourishing, healing everything in his path like an Ezekiel 47 river. It's coming right to you, coming to your house, your place, your heart, your mind. You're not even the same person you were when you walked in here. You're already different. You've already changed. You're already new and improved. You didn't even know that. When you walk out of here, people are going to treat you different. They're going to look at you different. They're going to say different things to you. When you walk out, you're going to talk different too, because you have changed. You have changed. You're stronger. You're better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Now look up here for just a minute. Look up here. Look up here. Look up here. I want you to realize. Look up here. Look up here. I want you to realize what just took place. When you have divine events like this, they're not random. They're planned. God had this plan for you today. You know why? Because he knew you needed it. So God put you on his calendar to make sure you'd be at the right place, at the right time, with the right people, doing the right thing, so you could get the right fix. And now you know what? It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. But never confuse the seriousness of this moment as sheer happenstance. This was perfectly planned for you. In my faith, you need to walk out of here and you need to guard your heart. Guard it. Because what God did there, the enemy will try to find a hole into it any way he can. Now, see, you have locked all the doors now. And you need to keep them shut. You got to watch over them, pray over them. Be in church every time the door's open. You're talking to people. Talk about Jesus. I know we can talk about some other things. I'm not talking about it's all you got to talk about. It's Jesus all day long. But you need to be talking about some Jesus. Let me put it this way. Can you think of someone you wish would have been here today to hear this sermon? Well, they're not going to hear it unless you get them here. So if you had that thought, maybe you were the one that assigned to bring them for the next time. You think this is the only day that God has planned for this? He's got all your numbers. I love that sound. You just don't know how much I love that sound. Because that's years just healed. Holy Spirit will do more in 30 seconds than you can do in counseling in the rest of your life. So my question before we walk away today is, what did he do for you today? You hold on to it. Cherish it. The whole way home, I want you thanking him. He didn't have to do it, did he? But he had to do it. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't have to do it, but he had to do it. You understand? Why? Because he's bound by his word. And he loves us and does things for us when we don't even deserve it. That's right. If it was for one, it was worth everything. God will find you wherever you'll let him visit. I'm glad today it was at a church altar, but he'll do the same thing in your car. He'll do the same thing sitting on the edge of your bed. He'll come to you at any time, anywhere, no matter where you're going through, even if you're all by yourself. Real. That's real. That's real. When you hear that people in the Bible, they went away leaping and praising. You get touched by Jesus, man. There's nothing like it. There's just nothing like it. So really, on a service like this, you don't end it. You continue it. So in just a moment, we're gonna walk out of here, and we're gonna carry the elevation that we have. And we come back Wednesday and Sunday. We're not coming back here. No, we're going to start right here. Right here. And then we're going to take it up again. But we're all going to get there together. Because we all go. And we all go together. We all believe. And we all believe together. We all stay. And we all stay together. If you wonder why I'm pausing, it's not because I'm trying to hold the service. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to release me. See, you never know when you're up here that, see, the Lord's still working here right now. And I've always been patient enough to wait until he's through. I want to be polite to the Lord. Yeah. Now, when I say I'm starting to feel the anointing lift, I don't mean that the anointing's not present. There was a very heavy anointing here today. And it takes a heavy anointing to break a heavy yoke. But that same anointing, the Bible says, watch this, doesn't break it. Destroys it. See, if you have something that's broken off you, it can be repaired and used again. When you destroy it, it can never be used against you again. You understand? You understand? So now, guys, I want to just want you to pay attention. I've been in so many of these like this. I've been at where drug addicts are up there shaking, and they never been to church, but they don't even know what they're doing. Tune in. We keep talking about the power of God, and I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom and power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need in churches. We don't need reform politics. We need a move of the power of God. It'll reform the whole system. You understand? Wow. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm feeling the change now. I just feel that I need to encourage you. And I have permission to tell you that the Lord has considered every one of your pleas. And he's already put things in order. So you walk away with your steps ordered in the Lord. So on the way out today, I know we always like to get up. We like to tell the announcements and all. And if you're okay, I just don't feel like doing that today. I don't think that's the flow. I mean, y'all heard the announcements. If you want to go check them on the website, go check them. But something special happened here today. This was special. And so here's the way I want to close out service. I just want you to find a few people and just hug them, encourage them. Tell him you love him. Tell how much you appreciate him. Seeing somebody you hadn't seen in a while, go over and tell him how great it is to see him, okay? And we're going to pick right back up here next service. Can we do that? God bless you, everyone. Love you, love you, love you, love you, love you.